Okay, let's go ahead and get started. I know some of you have younger kids and teenagers, and you've been here for a long time already. So I'm going to go through this pretty quick. There's just a few things that I really want to hit on, but it should go pretty quick. And I would like to save a little time at the end for some question and answer, and that could be very well our best time. So be thinking, if you have a question, be thinking of it so that we can share it with, because your neighbor probably has the same question. So, and I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I think Phil does, and he's right here with us. So. But I tell you what, guys, I'm just convinced a lot of stuff that John shared there is my heart, and I have just bought into it. A great commission, maybe even the word movement maybe doesn't even hit with me that much. Just God's great commission is what has saved my family, which has taught me how to be a dad, which taught me how to be a husband. And my kids know that we are a part of the great commission. And when we have small group, I tell my kids they're serving, they're part of it. We sit at the dinner table, we plan it. We say when these kids, if you're going to be watching these kids today at my house, those kids are going to leave wanting to come back because of the way you treat them. And they're part of that, and they understand that. And as they get older to being teenagers, Kelsey understands we are part of the Great Commission. We are trying to win the lost. Most of the people at your high school are going to hell. And that just kind of changed the whole thing, because we can get caught up in high school and thinking, oh, should I date? Should I do this? Should I do that? The bottom line is there's a bunch of lost people there that need Jesus Christ. And my kids and I, we talk about that. We talk about, as a family, as a Great Commission family, as a unit, going forward in this world, we are much more effective together than I ever could be alone. My kids have touched so many lives in my ministry and won so many people to Christ apart from me, because they're grabbing a hold of this Great Commission. This is a real thing that we live together. It's not just Dad's a pastor and he's going to go over and do this. No, I'm a part of that. And when I'm at church or anything that I'm doing, when I'm at school, that's what I'm called to do. And Kelsey will have friends that she'll bring home, and we'll try to love on them. And we'll try to meet their parents, and we'll try to treat them extra special. Anything we do with the youth group, if parents come, we just try to express God's love to all of them. And my family, that's what we're living out. It's not me. I'm just not the Charlie Brown adult. Wah, 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 wah. They've got to be watching me live it out. And I'm just convinced of that. And I am challenged constantly. I'm not saying it's easy. But I like what John has to say. It's showtime. You know, as parents, it's in this world especially, it's so easy to just slowly get phased out. You know, like I said, I'm right in the middle of this. Kelsey's 17. You know, we had to pick her up before and after school when she's 14 and 15 because she didn't have her own car. Now she has her own car. She has a job. She has friends. She's in the band. So, man, all of a sudden I found myself that, whoa, I didn't even see you today, did I? And like just like John talked, she's getting her identity from other places, and she comes home sometime with this attitude and snapping at me. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Where did that come from? What happened to my little angel? But she could have a hard day. She's doing all these things, and she could be. And so as a dad, I've had to learn to parent a different way. I have to hear her. She comes home and we have a conversation. How was your day? And she might be a little bit tight-lipped at first, or I might be, but we have to get past that, because this is golden time when I'm with her. We have to talk, and I have to know her heart. I have to know what her concerns are and if I can help them. But John also talked about we have to be letting go of our children. And it's very intentional. It's by God's design. We have to be letting go of our teenagers. And hopefully, I'm so excited about Kelsey's faith, and Colin, he's just starting to recognize this. It's, most things still pretty much are going over his head, but she's got a strong faith in God. And you know what? I don't want to let go of her. but she's going to be a wife someday, maybe an employee or an employer. It's time for her, for I have to let go and make sure her hands get into God's hand. And hopefully that's what's happening. Hopefully that's kind of where I'm at with Kelsey. Now, Colin, my boy, we're kind of in a whole different thing. And I think young boys are faced with lots of different things. And I'm going to kind of share some of my struggles with you guys, just what has happened to us even recently. One day, Colin had been going through this stuff, and he'd been kind of grumpy and short with me, and he's always kind of the personality of the family that was just, cheerful and funny. Gosh, he can make me laugh like crazy. He's got a neat personality, but he was kind of withdrawn, and he was going in his room and just hanging out there playing game, you know, and we'll get to that later about that kind of stuff. But I didn't know what it was. One day, I was off doing something, and I get a call on the phone, and he's just crying like a little baby. Dad, I need to tell you what happened. I said, well, what's going on? He said, we need to talk. I don't want this to ever happen again. And he said, I've been looking at internet stuff on pornography, and I just had a hard time, and I can't get away from it, and I don't know what to do. Man, it just ripped my heart out, because I work with a bunch of men that are dealing with the same thing in our churches, and I thought, not my boy, not Colin. And I just felt like there was a drug pusher that just held him down and was sticking a needle in his arm, you know what I mean, without me having any control. And it turned out God uses all things for the good, and it turned out to be a good thing. But don't kid yourselves and think that things aren't getting pipelined into your house. Satan has a direct end to our homes. It happened to be a real teachable moment, because Colin and I, since then, it's just been really cool. Because I understand, and I was able to display grace. You know, I was upset, but I wasn't upset at him. I wasn't upset at Colin. I was upset at that sin that's just so easy to get a hold of. And it was just a really great opportunity for me to display grace, kind of like the prodigal son. I just hugged that poor guy. He wept in my arms. And I said, you know, son, we are going to beat this thing. You know what? There's going to be some accountability. You know, he's like, oh, I never wanted to look at that again. Help me get out of this. Something came up there that said I was in trouble. And, you know, he was just racked. And I just loved him. I said, God, we're just going to work through this. I'm going to help you. We're going to learn from it. And we've just had some wonderful conversations since then. I'm working as dad, you know, and son. And I ask him, how are your thoughts today? Are you pure? How are you doing today? Can you just I don't know if you guys know, but lots of even young girls, they just do the craziest things to him in school. You know, they'll like rub their fanny in his face and stuff. And you know, what's a boy supposed to do? So he's trying to figure out his identity out here and what that means. And my goodness, he needs me. He needs me to be a man. He needs me to be the man in his life. And I need to step into that. And I had to talk to him, and we do, and it's actually been a real teachable moment. With Kelsey, too, I can point to a real teachable moment in her life. When we first moved here, we were homeschooling, and her grades were just phenomenal. My goodness, she was doing so good. And we'd come to find out that she'd been cheating. She'd been looking at the answer book for a long time in the back of the book for like months at a time. And finally got busted, and she admitted it to Jeannie. We worked through all this stuff, and probably the last time I spanked her as a teenager, because there gets to a point where I think spanking is no more the tool, no longer the tool. To me, in a lot of ways, spanking is much easier than trying to figure out what to do now. But I can turn and look back to that, because at the same time, I was able to give her grace at that point in her life. But, man, we had some talks, and we had to work through there, and there was definite discipline, and she spent most of the summer in school when she thought she was going to have the summer off, because we had to go back through everything. Made her go back through everything. It's hard for a mother, too. She had to go back through everything with her and work through that. there's just real pivotal points in their lives that they repented of their sin and we worked through it. But we can't kid ourselves. I really think this time for me anyway, and for all the people I meet, the teenage years, man, we might think, oh, they're finally trained and they're pretty polite, but we really have to step in as parents. God has put us in a place where we have to step in. And different types of things work for different things. I've spanked Colin probably within the last month. But you know what? It's probably the last time that Colin and I are going to work discipline out that way. Brenna, I think maybe a couple more years that she responds to spanking. I don't spank my kids very often anymore because when they were little, I tried to be consistent. So now when I tell them to do something, they know I'm serious. And they take me serious. And so I ask them to do something, and most of the time they do it quickly, cheerfully, and completely. Because I was consistent for quite a while. I was very convicted for quite a while that I needed to be consistent. And oh my goodness, we need to be consistent in everything we tell our kids. We can't promise them something and not go through. That does more harm than good. Now, I promise you that we're going to go have an ice cream next week. Not come through, that's worse. We have to be consistent. So for my kids now, we do a lot of talking. And you guys know that I'm kind of a guy of few words. I'm not that much of a conversationalist. I mean, my wife can get it out of me because she asks me 100 questions. But so I'm learning to listen to my daughters and my son. My son, I have to, he's kind of like me, he's kind of quiet, so I have to ask him a lot of questions. But so I have to talk to my kids, and it's so humbling because lots of times I am apologizing because I have to come to them in humility, because even especially with Kelsey, we'll exchange words, and I am just as guilty as her in the way I responded to her. You know, she might be short and sassy with me, but I probably started it off by being short and sassy and teasing her. And I had to come to her and say, you know what, would you please forgive me? I shouldn't have talked to you that way, Kelsey. And she said, oh, would you please forgive me, Dad? I shouldn't talk to you that way. And then we have a conversation where some fruit will come out of it. We can talk. And that goes with all my kids. I think that there just has to be a real open communication. You need to learn to talk to them. And you know, John talked about discipling. See, discipling for me is it's pretty simple. It's time spent with my kids. You know? Discipling is time spent with my kids. Not necessarily stuff I want to do. You know, I don't really like going shopping for hair color. But I have done it quite a few times. You know, I don't care what color you get. Not that one, though. I mean, but, you know, and it's driving together. It's being in the park together. Wherever we can grab a hold of some time together, alone, one-on-one. There's family time, and that's one thing. But disciple, I think it has to be one child with me, one-on-one, one-on-one. And Jeannie has worked a lot with the girls, but even as they get older, I think it's my call to spend with them, just because I've seen that. They need their dad. They need their dad. They need their dad. Otherwise, they're going to go looking for that manly, that stuff at high school from other guys. What's a guy really like? I don't know. Well, I date Kelsey. We go, you know, she's learning how to date with me. We go and I try to be a gentleman and try to be a good example for her. But discipling, you know, sometimes that word is like, oh, you're tiring me out just saying that word. Well, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's basically we're together. And it's not always what I want to do. Lots of times I intentionally try to figure out something that I know would challenge my kids, or they might, you know, lots of times I go roller skating with Brenna. You know, there's different, a movie, ice cream and popcorn with her, and we're set. You know, and I can disciple that way night after night. But we have to make times for our kids, and we have to be in their lives one-on-one. You have to know them. You have to know them. And our time is getting robbed from us. We get 16 and they get their own car. It's hard to keep up. I mean, Kelsey, her work schedule, she doesn't get home until 6, and she's in big demand for babysitting. So there's a good chance that she's gone after dinner. So we have to talk. Dinner time is a huge time at my house. Don't take that away from me, because that's my time. That's when I have everybody's attention. But lots of homes, you know, you're coming and going. Grab that, you know, that turkey sandwich on your way, and I'll see you in the morning. You know, on Tuesdays, my day off, we have two-hour Tuesdays. That's where 2 hours, we have our dinner time is a two-hour thing where we play games or interact. It's our two-hour Tuesday. You're not going anywhere. It's two-hour Tuesday. And it's an important thing. And I try to make our home a fun place. We play truth or dare. I try to think off-the-wall stuff for them. And I don't even want to tell you what happened in the last truth or dare, because it's really humiliating for me. But they had so much fun. You know, and just trying to be creative in the home, being fun and laughter. You know, I don't want them thinking that, because Jeannie and I can both kind of be like, well, why are you talking to me like that? And you know, we can get kind of stern and say, well, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go. And if that's all they hear, it's just like, oh, man, there's that Charlie Brown parent again. Wah, 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 wah. And whenever we speak at them, we can't be, even if we're mad, we can't be yelling at them. Because they just shut down. They just shut down. And I don't care how angry you are, or even if you have a loud voice, tone it down. Just talk to them. Because as soon as I get angry, because I used to be the Rambo guy that Bill talked about earlier. I put him right up there. I would wait till I go, I'll give you a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, you know, until, oh, that's it. I told you 10 times not to do that. And I'd be yelling. And there's again just that talking head. Bah, bah, bah. Those kids just can't hear a thing you're saying. If you blow up and you're yelling at them, it just shuts you off. You have just lost your opportunity to teach them. Because everything is a teachable moment. Everything you do is a teachable moment. With teenagers as well. Live life with them. So if you guys got that sheet, that green sheet, I just came up with some practicals. 10, you know, I probably could have come up with 20 or 30. But I just kind of want to start it here. And just kind of walk through these. These are some things I try to do. Are you guys pray every day for your teens? That seems like a no-brainer. Ah, let's go on. Well, no, it's more than a dinner time prayer. I am convinced that God has blessed Jeannie and I because we have been on our knees since we got saved praying for our kids. God help us. God help us. God help me. Every morning. I've gone through each one of the kids, Kelsey, Colin, Brennan. We have little 3x5 cards. Each one of them, something that they might be struggling with, or say for Kelsey, one that got just checked off was whether or not she's going to graduate early from high school. Something we've been praying on. She's been praying on. Her mother's been praying on. Three of us sat down and we created this card. What are some things that are really important right now that we need to be praying for you? You know. Are you going to go to Italy on a short-term mission trip with us? Are you going to stay an extra month? Well, we better figure that out. Where are you going to go to college? That's a biggie. Finish strong in high school. That's kind of Kelsey's list. So her mother's praying for it, I'm praying for it, and Kelsey's praying for it. And we're all kind of pushing for that same thing. Colin, create a list for him. You know, reach out to my classmates. Practice the drums more. The things that he wants to be like this drama guy. He wants to be a movie star. Okay, well, pray about that. So we're all praying for, you know, is there a desire of your heart? Well, he says, yeah, I like drama. Okay, I go out of my way to try to find him something that he can do that's associated with that. Okay, let's start here. You try this, and we'll all be praying about this, but you're going to go, you know, try choir, try the drama class and stuff like that. And we're all praying about it. Her mother and I am, and Colin, or his mother, Brenna. You know, hers is a little bit simpler, but they're just as important for her. The thing, you know, you're going to just start playing piano. Do you want to? What do you want to do? This and that. So I think prayer is something you might just go right past. It's just the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to each one of us for our children. Why don't we tap into that? We've got to be praying for our kids every single day. Just like John said, there is a train coming. Have you guys looked out there at the world lately? There's just so much yuck out there. I want to protect my kids. I don't want them to get munched by the world, like John said. There's yuck out there. The internet. You know, if you were to meet Colin, he's the last guy you'd ever think that could get caught up in that. But he's also a first guy, the target of people that want us to get into that yuck. Because it's piped right into our homes. Pray for protection. Come up with some realistic goals for your kids. Pray for each one of them every day. Take that verse in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Every day. Pray for your kids. I pray for my wife and I pray for my kids. Every day. And I think people just don't even think about it. But that's where we need to get. That's our resource. That's what we need to be centered on. What God wants for our kids. Second one is I have on there is imitate faith walkers. Now there's people like John Meyer and Rick Whitney, a bunch of other brothers that I look to them, and some of you that are doing real well with your kids. Well, why would I recreate the wheel when I see success? When these guys have poured so much of their ministry into figuring out what to do with teens and how to raise them and what's successful. So I look to these guys. Rick has a website for dads. I'm on that. I would suggest every one of you dads, I have it on the bottom here, to look on there. He's got all kinds of resources on anything you can imagine. Dating, pornography, anything. He's got resources on there. And I look to his seven kids, like I said earlier, and there's success there. You got to be doing something right if seven kids are out in the world making a difference for Christ, being kingdom builders. So I look to them. I look to them and their example, and I try to imitate what they're doing as they try to imitate Christ. And I think that's huge. I know part of our youth group will go to Colorado and share resources for different conferences. And those are huge. That's where I've learned most of the stuff that I've tried to put in place for my parenting. My kids go to something in youth, I'm there with them. So when they come back, it's not they're saying, oh, you should have been to that conference. You should have been there. It was so cool. We're saying it together to their mom or somebody else. It was awesome. We were there together. We learned together. We learned these deep spiritual truths together. I swear I grow just as much as they do when I go to those things. They're awesome. But I think you need to experience it together. And the mindset, it seems like, for people these days is just drop the kid off. Just drop them off. No, you need to experience with them. You need to grow up together. Grow up together. And there's a lot of people out there that are doing a lot of things right. And that just ties right in with ask for advice. You know, I remember bringing Kelsey home, 5 pounds, little girl, and when we first had her, our first child, and I was thinking, what are we going to do now? It's clueless. You know, here I am. I'm a dad now. What do you mean I'm a dad? I just and for a lot of years, I never asked anybody. I was just like on intuition. I'm just going to be a father like the TV shows me or whatever else. But the Bible's real clear. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. You know, parents, ask somebody for help. Even if it's a hard thing, you don't want them to know something about something that's happened to your teenager. My goodness, we got to just get that pride out of the way and ask for help and ask for advice. Someone that loves God more than they love you, but they love you. Someone that's maybe a step ahead of you. Coming here, I really felt in some way the Hans and the McEnors were kind of blazing the trail in this teenager thing, because here we were in Salt Lake City and all of our brothers and sisters were on the other side of the hill that were raising these teenagers. But we would ask their advice. I still look to their advice. And that's how we learn. I think we cannot get too proud where we don't ask for help. And I meet people constantly that just won't do that. I don't know what it is, especially us men. I don't know if it's just a built-in pride thing where I can do it. I don't need anyone else. I'll just do it myself, no matter how far I take this family down. We've got to get past that. For every decision we make, Bill has taught me this so much about asking for counsel. He asks for my counsel, and lots of times I say, oh, why are you asking me? But he's faithful to ask me and others almost every move that he makes. And that is so wise. And as dads, we need to be doing that. As moms, we need to be doing that. We need to be asking others their advice. Promote healthy communication. The teenage years kind of has a bad rap here. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Lots of times our teenagers can come up with a little attitude. I don't know. And I just will not let that happen in my house. If they come home and I don't care if they've had a bad day or whatever, I'm going to try to hug them, talk to them, sit in their room on their bed until we can get past that. Because what's going to be like out in the real world when a boss or somebody tells them to do something and they're just... We can't let them do that. And I see it time and time again. People just... It's easy enough to let your child just go to their room. It's like, you know, I don't have to deal with them now. In fact, I don't want to deal with them. You can't do that. It's parenting time. You have to step in and help them figure out their emotions. Just like John shared, it's like that Estes Rocket, this teenager thing, especially in junior high. They're trying to, who am I? I don't know. Everybody laughed at me today. I must be the class clown. Or maybe I'm the class bully today. They don't know. They're trying to figure out who they are in this world. But a lot of times they just want to close up, and they come home from all this other influence and their peers, and they're trying to figure out who they are, and they come home to you as parents and just like bolt right to their room. How was your day? Fine. Oh, wait a minute. How'd you do in that test? Good. Or if I ask them to do something and like give me the bad attitude thing, I just will not accept it. I just do not let that go. I look at that as a teachable moment. Oh, I'm glad you treated me that way, because that's a teachable moment. We're going to work through that. And my flesh, trust me, I'd rather maybe just sit on the couch and read a good book. And I think that's what a lot of us are tempted to do, which is, you know what, you go your way, I'll go my way. But remember, this is a teenager that's getting busier and busier and busier. So your window is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, to where they'll listen to you, to where you have a voice, where you can speak truth in their life. It's just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. It is showtime for parents. It is showtime in the teenager years. We've got to help them. We don't want them to let go of our hand and be out in the world and not know how to be out in the world and not have a hold of God. Teach them to work. It's one of the best things that my dad ever did for me, is he taught me how to work. He taught me when I was 13 years old. I had a job whether I liked it or not. I was in construction when I was 13 years old because my dad got me a job and he made sure that I went to it. If I didn't go to it, I was in trouble. But, you know, in a lot of ways, even allowance irritates me. I think allowance needs to be earned because otherwise we're just building up kids to stand in the unemployment line. I'm just waiting for my allowance. We have to teach kids how to work. Where else are they going to learn it? And we have to model it. And sometimes I come up with projects that don't need to happen. I mean, as far as the things that have to happen, you know. And everyone always jokes about digging the hole over there and then taking and filling it up. There is always something to do around your house. You don't have to be on a farm to have projects. I sat down the other day, and I've got a big list. Colin and Brenna, that they have a checklist that they go through, and on it is chores. And under the chore list, there's a big subset. They're not going to accomplish all the chores. But they have to do at least a certain amount of those chores every day. And there's certain things that their mother and I just expect them to do. And they get up, they make their bed. There's certain things they just need to do. And it's not always just right. And even picking up after themselves, we just continually, it seems like we're always, you know, why don't you just go ahead and pick it up, put it in the dishwasher when you're finished with it. And it's just like, it's never ending. But it's training. And sure, there has to be grace. And what it ends up being a lot of times is I'm just getting lazy and I'm just tired of telling them. So maybe I won't. But I have to step it up. I have to be the man. And it's not necessarily even my wife's responsibility. I have to be the dad here. And say, you know what? Here's how you do it. You rinse the cup out and you put it in the dishwasher. Because I don't want your mother to have to do that because she's got plenty to do. So let's learn how to take care of ourselves. There's a lot of I have nieces and nephews where they can't leave the home. They haven't figured out how to. Mom and dad have done so much spoon feeding for them. They can't. They don't. I don't think they can leave the home yet, because they haven't figured out how to do things for themselves. This is our training period to train up good husbands, good wives. Teach our sons to be respectful to women. To know how to be a man. There's just a lot of things. How to fix stuff around the house. I don't know how to fix a lot of things, but what I do know how to fix, I try to let them see how to do it themselves. My dad didn't teach me anything, and I ended up learning a lot of it in the streets, and that wasn't a good place to learn a lot of things. Got to teach them to work. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if working for the Lord. I share this verse with my kids because a lot of things, you know, Colin, he doesn't like to clean the toilets. So, well, Colin, you're probably one making the big mess on that one, I'm pretty sure. So if you're cleaning it, maybe you'll be a little more careful next time. And do it cheerfully. You know, and lots of times you can tell them, you know, you're going to do this chore, and they're like, oh, not dog poop again. I said, no, that's not. Whatever you do, work at it as if you're working for the Lord. Do it cheerfully. Whatever you do. And constantly I have to remind them of that. Because that's usually kind of the first reaction. It's kind of, they just kind of like, and I think I do that too sometimes when I give them chores. But I won't accept it. And I try to talk them through it, walk them through it, say, no, we're going to do this cheerfully. And I don't yell at them. I try to communicate so that we know. So there's an understanding. And they go and do the project. Model integrity. You are watched. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the devil. I just think that's where we learn integrity, is from our parents. Hopefully. And hopefully it's a good model. Our children need to know how to follow through on things. How to follow through on their marriages. Stick to it. Someday they're going to have a spouse. And they need to learn how to stick with it, even when the times are hard. They need to learn that if I promise that I'm going to be there at 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock is when I'm going to be there. And if I ask them to do something for me and they don't do it, that's wrong. And there's some sort of discipline that has to take place to where it makes a difference next time, so that it makes a difference so next time they do it. And as they get to be teenagers, you need to be more and more, and I need to be more and more creative in exactly what that is, what that discipline is. But no, whenever, whether they're a little tiny kid or 18 years old, that has to change them. That has to change what they do. The discipline has to change. Change their actions so that they either remember to do it right the next time, or they don't do what they're not supposed to do the next time. And their eyes are on us. They learn from us. You know, never say, "Oh, I'm not here." We are too. You know, the phone rings. Just tell them I'm not here. Goodness, don't ever have your kids do that for you, because you just tell them to lie for you. You know, what are they supposed? How are they supposed to respond to that? Just tell them I'm not available. I mean, it's just not that big a thing. And as a pastor, believe me, lots of times I don't want to be available. So I'm getting challenged in that. So we'll just let it ring, let the machine get it. This is my day off. We're not gonna deal with that today. But Bill and I were talking not too long ago. We want to put together some sort of teaching on integrity again, because I just think it's just gone so far south. There's so many sitcom moms and dads that just are so far from integrity. And I mean being a man and a woman of your word. That has slipped so... It's okay to just blow someone off these days. It's okay. Well, you call them next day, I'm sorry, I was doing this or that. I think that's just gone too far. You know, a lot of these things are the way I view them, in my view. So you got to come up with your own convictions. You got to plant your flags in certain places with your children. You got to stick to it. Teach them to serve others. It goes without saying, Colin and I have been setting up chairs since he was 7 years old. Come to church, we set up chairs. My kids served watching little kids today. Just my kids will serve. They will serve alongside of me. And they didn't really want to watch kids today because we went to the concert last night. So they were kind of... And then Kelsey had a friend over, so she was up way late. I told her, that you can stay up late, but in the morning you're getting up and we're going to go watch kids. And she did. And when she left, her eyes were about like this. But they need to learn to serve others at my house. When people come to my house, this is just a whole training period. Look at the adults in the eye. Say hi to them. You guys have come up to me before and said, even I think Michael did, said, I really appreciate the way your son talked to me. So I just told him to before he came up to you. Because we're in training. I don't have it all figured out. And we're working at it. This is it. This is our training period. We're at it now. We're on the job. Every single day, we're on the job. And sometimes they're more fun than others, for sure. But I got to show up, and I got to be there. Nothing can be more important than that. I'm just convinced for our witness to the world, nothing is more important than your marriage and your family. For you to point people to Christ, for God to be able to use you, for you to be a usable instrument. It's your marriage and your family. Because if I was up here talking to you guys now and my family was a wreck, you wouldn't be paying that close of attention. And our marriages and our family are what the world needs. They need a family that's clicking, that's hooked up with God, that's headed in the right direction, and they're drawn to that. And a big part of that is service to others. We don't want to raise up a generation that is just spoon-fed, that's entertained. Don't let your teenagers be pew-setters or folding chair-setters, in our case. That don't teach them to be entertained, to expect to be entertained in a church service. They ought to be part of it. Build them up in love. I think there's lots of times the discipline, we're always talking discipline, but there needs to be affirmation. There needs to be surprises. There needs to be things in their life where you just raise them up. Brenna, we've been working with her on just her attitude, because she happens to be really sensitive. So I can just look at her, you know, kind of with a little stern look, and she'd just fall apart. You know, and she's probably been the hardest one for me, because she's just so sensitive. And I look at her mom, could you please try and help her with this? I don't know what to do. But she's just a real sensitive young cat. But she, so we homeschool, and sometimes she can, you know, like she doesn't get it. She just can melt, have a meltdown, and fall apart. And we've been trying to work through that. And so she had a victory last week in that. She had kind of a meltdown, and her math, she couldn't figure it out. She went crying, and her mom said, well, you just go into the bathroom, and you say a prayer, try to pull it together, come back out. And she did that. She came back out, and her mom praised her. Good for you. She came back out with a smile and ready to go back to work. And we're just starting to see victory in this. This has been a battle for us. But it's like, oh, yes. And then her mom told me what happened. I came, oh, yeah, man, let's go to McDonald's today. I mean, that was awesome. Good for you. You figured that out. You're learning. Good for you. And all the way, and our teenagers, you know, and sometimes I won't even give my kids a curfew. Like Kelsey. So I don't want it to be too late tonight. She comes home and it's not too late. Thank you for listening. Big hug and kiss. Thank you for listening to me. I so appreciate that. You know, and it's just that affirmation is so important. Even the littlest things, because it seems like we're always trying to correct them. You know, how come you can't load the dishwasher right, or this or that or that or that? You. But they need to hear, oh, you are special. And I tell my girls that, oh, you are beautiful. You girls are beautiful. I love you. And they need to hear that. They need to hear, I love you every day. I tell my son that. I love you. I love you, Colin. It's kind of hard for some sons sometimes. They're like, you know, you want a hug, and they're kind of like, yeah. But they need that bad from us as dads. My dad, I don't remember him ever telling me he loved me or even hugging me. And I feel like I really missed out. Now, my kids, I Josh McDowell's a huge, he says, he's funny. He said, if you don't hug your kids 100 times a day, then you're missing it. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he's just a fun guy to watch teach. And he's just this guy that has affected probably more teens than anyone in the world. I mean, he's just constantly traveling. He has a heart for teens. He had a very hard childhood. But affirmation. He talks about the 6 A's, and I actually put his website on there, too. They're just great resources. He was in town not long ago, and I went and saw him for the first time. But in his 6 A's, one of them is affirmation. It's really important. Help them protect themselves to put on their armor. We need to teach our kids to put on the full armor of God. We need to teach them how to have a quiet time. We need to teach them how to pray. My kids, when they're about 10 years old, I require of them to write down at least one verse every day. That's just what we do. And as they're littler, that's just something they go through. And some of the times, they don't get it. But as they get older, then I require that they write a thought down with it every day. And I tell Colin in the morning, do you have your spiritual breakfast yet, Colin? Can't have any other breakfast unless you had your spiritual breakfast. I don't want you to starve today, buddy. You know what's important. You need to get that spiritual breakfast. And he's just starting to become aware of his relationship with God. I mean, there's a time where, yeah, I'm really sure he understood the whole salvation thing, and we prayed a prayer, and he got saved. And we can point to that date, and we can celebrate it every year. But there also comes a time in their life, I think, where they have a spiritual awakening. And I think that's something that we have to foster and help that love relationship come alive. Different people happens different ways. For me, it wasn't until I was 37. But as a younger, I just required, you know, you need to get in. And for boys to write down something, you know, I like the way Rick Whitney describes it. It's like for them to write something in a journal like this. You know, and girls, it's like, oh, yes, and he was wearing a blue shirt. And I mean, Kelsey, she's got journals, stacks of journals. Like, what do you write in there? But it's really a good thing for her to be able to express her feelings in a journal. And talk to God. I'm convinced a lot of her journaling has just been her prayers and her desires to her God. Just writing and writing and writing. And like I said, for boys, it's tough. You know, Colin, that's hard for him, but now he's getting better at it. It's getting to be a habit. And it's important that he learns how to have that love relationship with his God. So we require that. Put God first. This is kind of a filter, you know. We have our the T-shirts that we made that were win, build, send, and how Bill talked about that being a filter. You know, win the loss, build the believer, send the sanctified. For me, these are life verses. Matthew 6:25-33. It's actually my email handle. Is seek Him first. Everything that. I try. I'm sure I'm not successful every time, but all the decisions I try to make with my with my children, I try to put through this filter. Meaning, Dad, can I stay late after Saturday night church? Well, I have to assess the situation. I have to go through the seek Him first, seek God's kingdom first. Are you building the kingdom? You know, I may not actually say that, but that's what I'm thinking in my head. Okay, so you're going to go with Zach and Hayden and these other two boys, and you're the only girl. That's not kingdom building. You're not going to go. Just come on home tonight. It's just every situation, seek Him first. Is this kingdom building? And look at it. Even, you know, Dad, can I go do this? And I just, every day, every child is asking me, can I do this? Can I do that? Can I do that? And it always comes back to this. How is that going to build God's kingdom? You know, is that just going to be foolishness over there? If you have an overnighter with your friends, teenagers, there's going to be a lot of foolishness. Or even as young kids. So, oh, this girl you just led to Christ, or you're about to, yeah, she can spend the night. So you want to go out with all these teenagers Saturday night? Well, just bring them to our house. I think it's real important that it's done under my roof. And I know their friends. I spend time with their friends. And I've developed a little bit of, I like some of her friends. And I think it's important that I know them, that they know me, and that they're comfortable in my house. They don't mind coming over to my house and watching a movie. I think it's important to be right in there with our children. Even Kelsey, we went through a time where she really had kind of given her heart to Zach. Zach's over. And it was obvious to me. Just some puppy love going on there. And so I sat her down. We talked through it. We prayed through it. Said, you know, do not show favoritism. And she has developed a conviction for her own conviction for not dating. I'm all right there with it. Yahoo! Good to see you get that one down. But Joshua Harris has a good book on I Kissed Dating Goodbye. But anyway, at this one point, it was obvious that there was some rebellion, the way she was talking to me, the way she's treating me. So we sat down, we talked about it, prayed through it. There's a lot of tears. Just not going to see him anymore. It's going to be out of the picture. I spend time with Zach. Zach and I are close friends. I get with him quite a bit. I sit down, you know, this and that. Zach learned a lot from it. Kelsey learned a lot from it. And I still have my eye on it. But we're open and honest, and we talk about it, and we're working on it. And I think they're winning. But I'm not a fool. I want to help them. And God has designed us to be attracted to each other. I mean, my goodness, especially as a teenager when you're trying to figure out your identity and there's a cute girl or a cute boy over there, it's like, woo, yeah, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to experience this. God has designed us that way. It's a very beautiful thing that He's done. But your children, just like you, have to learn how to deal with those different emotions that are flowing through your body. You need to learn how to deal with that. This book, a lot of ladies have been going through in our church. There's a section in here for lies women believe, and men on this one for sure. Definitely, I agreed with this stuff here. And the truth that sets them free. And I just want to read you a couple of these. Here's one. Here's the lie. Children need to get exposed to the world, get exposed to the real world, so that they can learn to function in it. Well, that's a lie. Here's the truth that that she counters with it. Our task is not to raise up children who can fit into this world or merely survive it, but to bring up children who will be used by God to change our world. Like young, tender plants, children need to be protected from worldly influences until they are spiritually mature enough to withstand them. The fear of the Lord and a vital personal relationship with God are the best means of preparing children to withstand secular culture and to make a difference in our world. I agree with that. Here's the next lie. All children will go through a rebellious stage. We've all heard that before. Oh, they're just teenagers. Just a rebellious stage. Well, that's the lie. Certainly they're changing. But if parents expect their children to rebel, they increase the likelihood that they will do so. God promises a blessing to parents who keep His covenant and who teach their children to do the same. Parents cannot force their children to walk with God, but they can model godliness and cultivate a climate in the home that creates an appetite for God and is conducive to the spiritual nurture and growth of their children. Or how about this one? I know my child is a Christian because he prayed to receive Christ at an early age. The truth. Those who do not have a heart for God or any hunger for the things of God and who have a consistent pattern of rejecting the Word and ways of God have no basis for assurance of salvation. Parents who assume their children know the Lord regardless of their lifestyles may give their children a false sense of security and may not be praying appropriately for their children. Oh my. I see a lot of that going on too. I think when someone truly has a relationship with God that's vital and happening, you can see fruit from it. You can look at it and see it. How about this one? We are not responsible for how our children turn out. Parents have enormous influence in molding the lives of their children by their example, their teaching, and their leadership. Each generation is responsible to pass on to the next the heritage of a heart that knows and walks with God. Parents will give an account to God for the spiritual condition of their lives. He has entrusted to their care. Each individual is responsible for his own walk in obedience. Regardless of what kind of parents he had, each person will give an account to God for his own choices. God saves people. People don't save people. God saves people. God rescues people from the slaughter of a life we live in. And we're not called to be our children's personal Holy Spirit, but we are certainly God's tool to help them get pointed towards God. Just like John said in that Estes rocket, that little piece of metal. There's just a certain amount of time that we're in their life that we need to help steer them through these teenage years. And we will be challenged more than any of the parenting we've done so far in these teenage years. And it's hard work, but it's what we're called to do. And there's nothing else that's more important in our lives than to be the parent that God's called us to, especially with these teenagers. So, gone a little long, but we could do some questions quick. If anybody had any questions that you'd want to go through and talk about. You know, you've processed a lot of stuff today, especially you guys who have been here all day. But you got it all figured out? Go ahead, Jen. Ah, okay. Yes, I missed the video game thing, didn't I? Yeah. I've been challenged in this area. I think my kids have video games. The latest rule that I've come up with, which I think is my most brilliant, is they can play for... the first one we had in place was as much as you read in a book, you could play the video game when we decided the time was right. But my latest stroke of genius was 30 minutes straight. And that's it. And there has to be at least an hour in between before you can go back to it. And I don't want you to sit there waiting and watching the clock. Because, I don't know, I like to think that... Because video games are just, it's a great babysitting tool for us. I mean, I've used it for that before. So just go play that video game. Can I play a video game? Yeah, I don't want to listen to you whine to me anymore anyway. But I think that, as with anything, it can get excessive. And it can become their authority. I mean, my kids have gone through things. That's all they can think about. I've got to get this game. Or, I should correct that. Colin. It's the one that's the video guy. Kelsey could care less. And Brenna just likes to hang with Colin, so she plays sometimes. But he can, if there's